good to be together. It's good to be praising God, declaring the joy of the Lord is our strength. Today, I just wanted to share with you something very, very important. This is something that every believer in the Lord Jesus needs to have deep within them. And if you can give it a title, it would be called the authority of the believer. And let me just take you to Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. And you need to see this key verse. Because, you know, we've talked about, that word came up about, you know, our feeling of heaviness. We're in cold weather, okay? You know, greeted folks come in, you know, how are you? Cold. Well, that's better than, you know, the normal UK sort of English answer is, I'm all right, you know, I'm cold. And in all these things around us, it can let things come into our lives which actually take away our joy and our strength. But let's get back to the verse. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Now, Jesus has spent 3 years ministering, healing, giving the good news, changing people's lives. And he's died, he's risen, and now he's having his last words to his disciples before he goes back to heaven. And he says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been mine. And you have watched that happening over the last 3 years, and you have seen me living, and you've seen me acting, and you've seen me what I've been doing, because I've had all the authority of heaven. Now I'm giving it to you. Therefore, go. Those two words, says go and make disciples. Therefore, go. We need to realize that we are not subject to everything that's going on in this world. That we belong to a different kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. And therefore, you know, sometimes we can say when we've, you know, been saved, we're born again, we've received the gospel of salvation. When I receive the gospel of salvation, which is good, because I know my sins are forgiven, I know Jesus loves me, I know I belong to him, I know I've got a place in heaven, that's good. But when I receive the gospel of the kingdom, it means not only do I get all the other things, but I belong to a king. He is Lord. He rules and reigns. And so that's what we see Jesus doing here on earth. Now, sometimes we can think about Jesus when, you know, people were sick. You know, well, he laid his hands on the sick and they were healed. And it can almost seem like a slightly sentimental thing, you know. Oh, here's somebody who's a bit unwell. Be healed. But actually, if we look at what Jesus did, he didn't do very much of what I call, touchy-feely. I mean, I don't want to be irreverent, but he just said, be healed, because he was exercising authority. He wants us to exercise authority. I just want to go through a few scriptures. In Matthew 9 and verse 8, in the beginning of that chapter of Matthew 9, there was a paralytic man. He was let down through the roof. Jesus spoke to him and he said, your sins are forgiven. And he said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And the crowd, when they saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to man. They saw the man crippled. They saw him completely powerless. And Jesus said, rise up and walk. Strength came back to his body. He got up, picked up his bed, and off he went. That's authority. Another scripture in Matthew 8 and verses 2 and 3. A leper came to Jesus and he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing, be clean. I like that, don't you? Do you like that kind of healing meeting? Be clean. Be healed. Rise up and walk. Because Jesus had exercised authority. Also, it wasn't harsh. It wasn't sort of hard. It was wonderful and powerful and life-changing. And that's what Jesus, that's how he lived. If you go to Matthew 12, verse 28, Jesus is confronting the powers of darkness. And this is just the kind of the last verse. But before that, they're just saying, well, are you casting out demons by Beelzebub? And he said, no, I'm not doing that. He said, if I by the finger of God cast out the demons, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So anything that was contrary to the rule and the reign of God, Jesus could say, I by the Spirit of God. If I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. If we have received Jesus, there's no power of darkness that has any right to have any part in the lives of us. If anything is troubling us that's come from the enemy, we can say in the name of Jesus, I drive you out. The kingdom of God comes into your life. Isn't that great? So that's the way Jesus did this. In Matthew 10, and we also get in Luke, he called his disciples them, and it says in the scripture, Matthew 10 and verse 1, if we've got it up there, he called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Jesus said to his disciples, you've seen me, what I'm doing, now you can go and do it. He gave them his authority. You know, a very good example of authority is you don't see them very much these days, is your traffic policeman. If your traffic policeman stands in the middle of the traffic and he goes that's authority. He could be rolled over by the truck, but because he has been endowed with an authority in this land, and he stands in front of you and puts your hand up, it's not too wise to roll him over because you're in deep trouble. But his authority will make you stop. Used to see them in the old days, these guys, you know, moving the traffic around. And you could see they stopped them and you could see they made them go. That is the kind of authority that we have. So he said Jesus gave them authority and he sent them out. I used to travel around with Colin Urquhart many years ago when I was working with him, and we'd come to someone's home, and the question would be, can you eat everything? You know, a host who's prepared a meal, and here comes the man of God, and, you know, is it going to be okay? So Colin, we were sitting there, and this, I remember this lady was down in Kent, and it was Jenna, one of these perfect houses, you know, nothing out of place, and there was a silver cutlery, and there was the bone china, everything you could ever think of. Colin, is there anything you can't eat? He said, no. He said, the word of God says, eat what's set before you, heal the sick, and preach the kingdom. He said, I'm now going to eat what's set before me. So we're going to go to the meeting and we're going to heal the sick and preach the kingdom. And that's lived with me ever since, because I've had those questions asked of me. Can you eat everything? Yes, eat what's set before you. Now, I only say that because there was an authority, actually even authority over food. You know? I'm not going to get onto that one. Or I could offend people. But I think actually, because we somehow have lost an idea of our authority, we could be at the mercy of every kind of bit of food that we don't want to eat. But I'm not. That's not my message. Or you get caught up on thinking, he thinks my food allergy is wrong. I do. I believe he needs to be healed. Right, now the disciples. I just want to give you another scripture. We had Matthew 28. Just let me put up Luke 24:49. There's two scriptures that came right at the end of Jesus' ministry. Matthew 28, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go in my name. Luke 24:49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus literally kind of gave us a twin-like mandate. All authority has been given to me. I'm giving you that authority. All the power that I have lived with, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, don't go out, start doing it on your own strength, because you need the power of heaven. So we've got authority and we've got power. That's what we've been given. You have been given authority. You've been given power. Every believer in the Lord Jesus has power and has authority. So, the next thing that happens is that we go into Acts and we discover that the disciples heard what Jesus said and they began to do what Jesus had told them to do. So, if we go into Acts chapter 3, and we have a story here which you know very, very well, which is about the healing of the man at the going up into the temple. And it says, this is the man. He's asking, can you give me a bit of money? When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expected to get something from them. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. And the man stood up. You can see the same atmosphere, the same dynamic as Jesus had exercised in his ministry, the disciples are exercising in their ministry. It's interesting, we've been reading Acts during this week in the Bible reading plan, and Joyce and I, we kind of read together in the morning, and we've been getting through the various chapters of Acts, and we got to Acts chapter 13, and you get to Acts chapter 13 and verse 10 and 11, and here is this guy, he's kind of opposing Paul and Barnabas, and this is where he gets it. You child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right, you're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. You'll never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, and you will not be unable to see the light of the sun. And he became blind. Now, you may find that's a bit kind of heavy, but I remember hearing this testimony of this young girl. I think it was in China, but it was in a country. And she was walking down this lane, and a man stepped out with a knife to attack her. And she just said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And as she said that, his hand was actually frozen in with a knife in his hand and right up in the air. And she continued on her journey to a group of believers. And she then said, just, do you know what's happened? She said, I was coming along the road, and this man wanted to attack me with a knife. And that I told him in the name of Jesus, you can stop. And they said, well, what do you do? She said, well, I've just come here. What about the man? Well, he's still standing by the side of the road with his hand in the air. So they said, I think we probably need to go back and see what's going on. So they went back with the several of the believers who she'd met with, and here he was with his hand, absolutely frightened, absolutely, completely petrified. He says, can you help me? She said, well, we can help you, but you need actually to repent. You need to acknowledge that Jesus is the one who needs to be the Lord of your life, and you'll be okay. And so he prayed, his hand came down, and his life was changed. So we read this in the Gospels. It has happened here in the 20th century, and it is still happening with people. Just tell you another, it actually happened. Most of you here, or many of you here, know our daughter Jo. When she was living in London, Ian and Jo, they were married. Somebody who Ian was helping, who was, you know, a very disturbed character, came into the flat one day, and he went to the drawer and grabbed a knife out. And he was about to attack our daughter Jo. And she said, in the name of Jesus, you will not hurt me. And I don't know, he wasn't paralyzed, but basically she was rescued, she was saved, and he left the flat. I mean, I think he had to eventually go to prison because of the deed, which is probably right. But I want to tell you that authority is right in these days. But let's have the other flip side of it, because Acts chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, they now come to a situation. Paul's preaching. This man listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. He stepped out. Stand on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. I like that. He saw that that person, you know, there are situations, even like when I'm now here, there are times when God can just give you an understanding that somebody has just got, the penny has dropped as to what God can do for them. And Paul said, stand on your feet. He was healed. Now, so those are the disciples. Now, what about us? I want you to look, I want just to put a couple of scriptures up. In one of them is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4 and 4. There's some key scriptures. You know, the key scripture, all authority on heaven and earth is, Jesus said, I have all authority and I'm giving it to you, therefore go. I need to know that scripture. I need to know that I have authority. Because things happen in this world. We're not living in a bland world. And I need to know that the things that are going on around me, stress, you know, discouragement, heaviness, we have authority over that heaviness. And we can tell it to go. Because in 1 John 4 and verse 4, it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And I need to know that. I mean, take our own political situation. Last June, we had Brexit. We've now got a new president in the United States. And there's all kinds of stuff happening in the news every day. Am I afraid? Do I think the political scene is in disarray? Well, probably the answer is yes. But does it cause fear? Do I mean that I thinking, dear Lord, this country is going to go to rack and ruin? Oh, all these guys and all their negotiations about Brexit, are we going to be in a terrible state? I do not believe that. I don't believe I will be in a terrible state, and I don't believe that any of God's people were in a terrible state. It says in one of the Psalms, it says, I was old, I was young, and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. That's what the scripture says. So, because I belong to Jesus and I am the righteous one, he has never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. I'm not saying there aren't challenges in our lives. I'm not saying things aren't always, there aren't times of difficulty. But I just declare that I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Now, when it comes to authority, I mean, this is the time of the year when it's very easy to, all the kind of coughs, colds, germs and things are happening. And I'm not saying every one of us is absolutely clear, but there's something that we've got to be sharp on. And I know that, you know, if I kind of sort of have a cough or blow my nose or, you know, something like, George said, are you coming down with some illness? I said, no, I'm not. Well, if she said, if I'm feeling something trying to get me, well, let's drive it off in the name of Jesus. And I want to be quick. Because I can tell you, there are times that you don't get quick. I'm not saying that you've lost your salvation or that you're a kind of a bad person if you get yourself a cold or a cough. But what I'm saying is this, that I want to stand against things because the kingdom of God is within me. And I just want to say that, and every part, I mean, I thank the Lord for the National Health Service. All I can say is, despite everything on the news this week, every dealings I've had with the National Health Service had been 100%. I cannot complain at all from the treatment I have received. I haven't had to receive that much treatment, but any treatment either Joyce and I have received, we say we are blessed to be in this country and have the National Health Service, even though we haven't got enough money to pay for it. But the problem is very often is that when a doctor is actually just kind of telling you, no, you're okay, however, you could have this, 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 or this, or this. Those are the times when I say, I will not have this, 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 or this. I remember a friend of mine, and I've done it myself, you know, he was going to travel, had never traveled abroad, went to the doctor or the nurse and jabs here and things there and said, you know, you could feel very unwell and this could happen, the other can happen. And he said, no, I won't. He said, I receive these vaccinations as a blessing and I do not intend to feel unwell. And didn't feel unwell. We've done anti-malarials and there are some not very nice anti-malarials. You take him and say, I take this anti-malarial and I just say it'll only do me good. It won't do me ill. And so there is a sense in which we live with an authority. I mean, the thing we prayed over years about the flu jab. And at the beginning of winter, we've said, let's pray a flu jab. Well, I've never had a flu in the last, I don't know how many years of winter, but I've had the heavenly flu jab. I didn't have an earthly one. I just had the heavenly one. Now, don't be under condemnation. If you had the earthly one, fine, just bless it as it goes in. But there's something in me which has said, part of the authority I have is not to get the flu. I was traveling to Rome a few years ago to do some ministry, and as I arrived at the airport, the guy who picked me up, and he said, I just need to tell you that everybody in Rome has got the flu. I said, well, I'm not going to get the flu. I said, I've come here to preach the kingdom, not to get the flu. Now, he was quite surprised at my sort of rather kind of almost violent is probably the wrong word, but it was a very sharp reaction to his word. And I didn't get the flu, and I did share the kingdom of God. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Just one other scripture I want to read that a moment, and that is in Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Because we need to know the power of the name of Jesus. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We need to know the power of the name of Jesus. I need to know the authority that I have from heaven. I need to know the power of the Holy Spirit that was poured out on me. Poured out first on the day of Pentecost and is poured out on me because I'm a believer. And I need to know the power of the name of Jesus. because oh, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One of the things that we experienced when we had our children in their teenage years is that there's a lot of negativity going on out in there in the world. And one of our daughters, really, when, gosh, she'd come in from school one day, and Joyce was just talking, asking her to do that, and she was just, I said, what do you, our slave die of? Do you know the kind of reaction? She thought, what's this come from? Here's my daughter, I'm just asking her to put the kettle on, and she's just rebelling. And we began to pray about it. And the Lord just said, it is the spirit of the age. Because actually what we discovered was that holiday time was pretty good. I'm not saying children were perfect, because that hasn't quite happened yet. But things were, holiday time were quite good. You get them back to school. And here was this daughter coming in the door, mouthy, rebellious, didn't want to do anything anybody asked her to do. And the Lord just said, it's the spirit of the age. And so I remember Joyce, because she really got, because she was at the sharp end of this thing. I remember going to the front door of our house, opening the front door and saying, this spirit of this age, this spirit of rebellion, you are not welcome in this house. Get out. Door opened, and the get out in the name of Jesus. Close the door. I don't want you back in this house again. You see, there are things that affect our lives and are trying to bring negativity and trying to bring gloom and doom into our circumstances. But God has given us the authority to stand against them. And it's a revelation. You know, sometimes, I know, I talk about this thing about, you know, when I've had a cough or something, and or something is trying to get at me. And when Joyce will say to me, hey, sounds as if I'm trying to get at you, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Now, you feel foolish at that moment. Standing up in the kitchen saying, sore throat, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go, I'm not having you, and you're to go in Jesus' name. You don't feel, that's not the moment you feel, that it's almost as if there's a little battle going on. Probably a little, but probably a big battle. But when you've actually done it, you'll discover that it is important. Just something else I want to say, because this isn't comprehensive, but there are curses. You know, people can be in a, have come from a pretty rum background. You think, well, you know, my parents were this and my grandparents were that and somebody else was that, and hey, dear Lord, what on earth is going to happen to me? Well, in Proverbs 26 and verse 2, it says, like a fluttering sparrow, if we managed to get there, it says, an undeserved curse will not fall. If you can find that one for me, I'll be blessed. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Okay? Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Now, let's go straight over to 1 Peter 1:18-19. Right. Just remember about an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Right. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as in silver and gold you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. There are empty ways of life that belong to our forefathers, but the precious blood of Jesus has redeemed us from the empty way of life that is handed down from our forefathers. And there's something else which I know that is a real issue. There are some times that there are hereditary things in terms of physical disease and ailments that people sort of say, well, look here, this has been coming down through my family line. Well, then stop it coming down through your family line. because I am a son of Abraham. And I know that family line was a good line. So the Sibthorpe line, however many skeletons there may be rattling around in the cupboard, I reject them in the name of Jesus because I belong to the kingdom of God. Now that's a very real thing. And I know some here have issues which they think, hey, this has been in the family and I am not having it coming on me and I'm not having it coming on my children or my grandchildren. Because it's all part of living on the authority of God. Now, time has run out, and I just want one scripture to give you, and that's John 14 and verse 12, which says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and greater things shall he do, because I go to my Father. So, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the end of the earth. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. I want everybody to stand up. We're going to take communion just right now. Because I am praying that God puts a revelation. The whole thing of authority, it's a revelation. When you know it, you know it, and you know it. But the enemy will try and rob it from you. I want to pray for every one of you. Father, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters right now. Father, every single one who has been born again of the Spirit of God, who is part of the kingdom of God, I declare that the authority of heaven has been given to you. I declare that the Spirit of God is upon you. And I declare that you have been given the name of Jesus, which is above every name. And I declare that anyone, as Jesus said, who has faith in me, will do what I have been doing. And greater things shall he do, because I go to my Father. And I pray that every single one of us will take our stand against every device of the enemy, both physical disease, things that are happening in the family, attacks of fear and discouragement, and heaviness. I declare that every single one of them is defeated in the name of Jesus. Amen.